happening, and I'll be reading from the Salem News, June 12, 2026. Lawmakers set dates for tax holiday, by Christian M. Wade, State House reporter. Boston. Shoppers will get a reprieve from the state's sales tax over the weekend of August 8th through 9th, with lawmakers officially setting the date for the annual two-day tax holiday. The respite, approved Thursday, will allow shoppers to avoid paying the 6.25% sales tax on most retail items, excluding food and drinks at restaurants. Less than $2,500. A 2018 law set a permanent tax weekend in August, but let it up to the legislature to determine the dates for the holiday annually. Lowering costs for Massachusetts residents and supporting local businesses is critical for our communities in this time of economic uncertainty, Senate President Karen Spica D. Ashland said in a statement. House Speaker Ron Mariano Quincy said the tax holiday will bring consumers needed economic relief while boosting revenue for small businesses and retailers. Retailers view tax holidays as an opportunity to lure shoppers during a slow season and level the playing field with online retailers, which have generally avoided paying the state's sales tax. Many consumers use the weekend to stock up on school supplies or more expensive goods. The holiday is particularly important for communities along the New Hampshire border that compete year-round with stores in the tax-free Granite State. But the holiday comes at a cost. The Department of Revenue estimated Massachusetts forfeited nearly $38 million in revenue over the sales tax holiday weekend last year. But the state agency also said the holiday often contributes to a spike in consumer activity that boosts indirect sales tax revenue. Last year, the holiday generated an estimated $3.65 million in indirect tax revenues, the agency says. Massachusetts is one of 16 states holding a tax holiday this year, according to the National Retail Federation. Tax watchdogs are skeptical of the impact of tax-free holidays, with some arguing that it subsidizes businesses at the expense of limited state funding for other programs. To be sure, not everything is tax-free. The holiday won't apply to big-ticket items such as cars and boats or single items costing more than $2,500. Nor would it include taxes on energy bills, restaurant meals, tobacco, or marijuana products. There's no state sales tax on groceries or clothing costing less than $175. Retailers say the Massachusetts sales tax puts them at a competitive disadvantage. It's third highest in New England, behind Rhode Island's 7% and Connecticut's 6.35%. Christian M. Way covers the Massachusetts State House for North of Boston media groups, newspapers, and websites. Email him at cwade@cnbinews.com. House passes $228 million spending plan, by Christian Wade, State House reporter. The State House of Representatives has approved a supplemental spending plan to plug gaps in the state budget amid increasing concerns about fiscal instability. The supplemental budget comes amid House and Senate negotiations on the annual state budget, calls for more money to cover costs for the state's response to last winter's storms, substance abuse programs, homeless shelters, and free phone calls for prison inmates, among other priorities. This legislation fulfills one of the legislature's most important responsibilities, ensuring that key state programs and services are adequately funded, a role that is especially critical during periods of fiscal uncertainty and increased strain on local budgets. House Speaker Ron Mariano Quincy said in a prepared statement, The spending package includes $159.8 million for snow and ice removal costs incurred by Massachusetts Department of Transportation and Department of Conservation and Recreation, funded through fair share revenue. $14 million for the Bureau of Substance Addiction Services to address increased utilization and ensure continued access to treatment and recovery services. $9.5 million for the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency to support costs associated with snow emergency response and recovery efforts. $8.1 million for homelessness programs to help maintain services for vulnerable individuals and families. $1.7 million for Massachusetts National Guard expenses related to winter storm response activities. The bill includes $22.5 million for the State Department of Correction and County Sheriffs to provide phone calls to prisoners at no cost. Massachusetts is one of five states to offer free prison calls after Healy and lawmakers approve the program with no cap on the number of minutes or calls, videos, or emails. The legislation, which must also be approved by the state Senate before landing on Governor Mara Healey's desk, is also packed full of policy changes, including a proposal to extend the maximum length of stay in the emergency assistance program's bridge shelter track from 6 months to 9 months for eligible families with children and pregnant women. Beacon Hill leaders set the six-month limit last year in response to a surge of asylum seekers and refugees that had pushed the state's emergency shelter system to the brink of collapse. But the number of people seeking shelter has plummeted over the past year, according to state data. The spending bill also includes a proposal for a $1 million assessment on pharmacy benefit managers who act as a middleman between health plans, drug companies, and suppliers to help cover the costs of regulating the industry. The Senate approved regulations last year, and the House is expected to take them up as well. The pharmaceutical industry has long argued that allowing states or the federal government to negotiate drug prices would stifle innovation, further driving up prices. But recent polls show rising prescription prices are a top concern among the general public, with large majorities of Democrats and Republicans favoring policy actions to lower costs. The Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance criticized House lawmakers for including the new assessment in the supplemental budget, warning that the costs will ultimately be borne by Massachusetts patients, employers, and taxpayers. Every time Beacon Hill adds another assessment mandate or regulatory cost, somewhere in the healthcare supply chain, consumers eventually end up paying for the bill, said Paul Craney, Mass Fiscal's executive director. That's how these systems work. Christian M. Way covers the Massachusetts State House for North of Boston Media Group's newspapers. You can email him at cwade@cnhinews.com. TGIF, what's up this weekend? Food at 400 plus. This weekend in Salem, with historic houses and museums across downtown open for visitors, taste history as you sample gingerbread cookies adapted from a recipe by Sally Ropes Orne, former resident of Ropes Mansion. See what's cooking at the House of Seven Gables, the Jonathan Corwin and Phillips houses. Learn how Salem's spice trade influenced early American cuisine. Learn more at www.salemfoodtours.com. An evening with Chef Scott. This event celebrates Salem's delicious history of food with a Food 400 Plus evening with Scott Conant, direct descendant of Salem founder and award-winning chef, 7 to 8 p.m. at the Sophia Gordon Center for Creative and Performing Arts, 352 Lafayette Street. Join in for a lively conversation, demonstration, question and answers, and delicious memento of the evening. Buy tickets at www.eventbrite.com. An evening with Chef Scott. Free museum days. Hamilton and Wenham residents go for free at the North Shore Children's Museum Saturday and Sunday, noon to 4 p.m., 10 Main Street, Peabody. Each of the 15 hands-on exhibits explore different themes to tap into a child's imagination and all are free with valid ID. Get your tickets at nschildrensmuseum.org. Strawberries. The Topsfield Strawberry Festival is this Saturday at the Topsfield Town Common, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Fresh strawberry shortcake, 50-plus craft vendors, games, a bouncy house, and a book sale, entertainment lineup, flag-raising, live band performances, Revolutionary War reenactments, drills, and musket firing by Colonel Bailey's regiment, 1:30 to 4 p.m. Live music by Charlie and the Hustle. Learn more at topsfieldhistory.org. Celebrating Pride. Danvers Pride celebration kicks off at noon Saturday with a flag raising, live music, and family festivities, including a massive Pokemon trading card event on Sunday. Events are free and take place at the Town Hall, 1 Sylvan Street, in the Peabody Institute Library Lawn, with food, live music, activities, and a book sale at the library, 15 Sylvan Street. Learn more at www.danversmass.gov. Golf Tournament Will Honor Late Peabody Teen by Caroline Enos, staff writer, Peabody. Jason's Legacy Foundation will host an inaugural golf tournament this summer to promote kindness and raise support bullying prevention efforts. The 18-hole tournament will be held on Monday, August 24th, beginning at 8 a.m. at Troll Brook Golf Course in Tewksbury. It will honor Jason Bernard, a 14-year-old Peabody middle schooler who died by suicide last year after being bullied by his peers. Jason had a remarkable ability to make people feel seen and valued, Jason's legacy organizer said in a statement. This tournament is more than a golf event. It is an opportunity to honor his life by encouraging kindness, supporting young people, helping create communities where everyone feels safe, accepted, and respected. The day will feature contest prizes, raffles, a silent auction, lunch, an awards presentation, and sponsorship opportunities for local businesses and community partners. All proceeds will support bullying prevention and education efforts designed to empower young people, promote kindness, and provide resources that help foster healthier, more supportive environments for children and teens, according to the statement. Jason was known for his infectious smile, his curiosity, his ambition, and the joy he brought to others. Though his life was far too short, his legacy continues to inspire meaningful action and positive change. To register for the tournament, learn about sponsorship opportunities, or for more information, contact Jason's Legacy Foundation at jasonslegacy14@gmail.com or by calling 978-808-4978. Contact Caroline Enos at cenos@northofboston.com. Peabody Superintendent Responds to Hate Speech Incidents by Caroline Enos, staff writer. Peabody. Students at Higgins Middle School will attend assemblies from the Lappin Foundation on Friday in response to recent incidents of anti-Semitic and homophobic speech and symbols at the school. One incident involved a student who was targeted by hateful speech from another student, but then responded with hateful words back, Superintendent Josh Vidala said at Tuesday's school committee meeting. Support and consequences are being provided to the individual students in these cases, but those steps alone are not enough to address the issue, Vidala said. Over the years, we've been able to expand and really deepen our Holocaust and genocide studies, he said. Despite that effort, we're still seeing some of these things going on in our schools and our community, and I think we need a bigger response. Vidala's statement comes after a local rabbi and his family were targeted with anti-Semitic speech while walking down Peabody streets last month. Friday's assembly with the Lappin Foundation, an offshore-based organization dedicated to Holocaust and genocide education, will be given to each grade level and include education, the promotion of empathy, and facilitated conversations with students. The foundation will also come back to work with district staff on how to effectively respond to these incidents, Vidala said. He is also opening up the summer reading reflection done with the district's leadership staff every year to the entire community. The book this summer is Man's Search for Meaning, published by Dr. Viktor Frankl in 1946 about his experiences in Nazi concentration camps and finding purpose in life's darkest moments. The Peabody Institute Library is ordering more copies of the book and will offer it digitally. Vidala also shared the book with community interfaith leaders and plans to organize community discussions events on the book in the fall. We want to make sure that we're not doing these things just individually, that we have a bigger response, Vidala said. We want to be committed to responding to these things, but also have a proactive approach. He told the committee that hate in any form is not tolerated in Peabody Public Schools. School committee member Pam Millman, who is Jewish, thanked Vidala for sharing these updates. She's received multiple messages from families about anti-Semitism and also said a swastika had been found at one of the school's ball fields. I think it's really important to make these things known so that we can address them, Millman said at Tuesday's meeting. That's what you're doing now, and it's appreciated. Mayor Ted Betancourt said that night was the first time he'd heard of the swastika incident, Millman shared, and would look further into it. He has been in touch with a rabbi who was recently targeted with anti-Semitism and also attended an anti-Semitism summit run by the Lapin Foundation last month. There's a lot of troubling things happening in our world right now, and it's daunting, but we need as a city to take action where we can and support our families and people that live here, Betancourt said. School committee member Beverly Griffin Dunn applauded this work. We need to be able to make a stand against hate, to make sure that when students are here, that they're learning how to treat people properly, how to respect people, how to appreciate other people, she said. Hopefully, that will go back home for some children and back into their neighborhood, she said. It does start with us because we are in education. Contact Caroline Enos at cenos@northofboston.com. Just short once again, Ipswich girls lacrosse falls in Division 4 state final to top-seeded Sandwich by Phil Stacy, executive sports editor. Wellesley, minutes after the final buzzer sounded, head coach Allison Tivnan went around individually to each of her Ipswich High girls lacrosse players, gave them a hug, and said the same three words, "You are awesome." For the third time in four seasons, Ipswich had reached the Division IV state championship game, but sadly for the third time, they were unable to lift the hardware. Instead, it was top-seeded Sandwich High who scored three unanswered goals in the fourth quarter and ultimately claimed a 9-6 victory Thursday at blazing hot McDuffie Field at the Babson College campus. "We wanted it so badly, especially for our seniors," an emotional Tivnan said afterwards. "It's tough. They're amazing." Those six graduating players, Jade Wilcox, Catherine Rafferty, Hazel Donovan, and tri-captains Lila Greenleaf, Allie Weil, and Kira McPartland, reached the state semifinals each of their 4 years at IHS, making the finals thrice. They also won the Cape Ant League Baker title all four seasons while winning 72 of the 83 contests they play. "For sure, it's the greatest senior class in program history," acknowledged Tivnan, whose second-seeded team saw its season wrap up at 17-4. "What will their legacy be? The expectation to win, expectation to make the final, the expectation to play as hard as you can and leave it all out there. That's Ipswich lacrosse." This was the fifth trip to the title match for Sandwich head coach Kelly Beaton in her 29 seasons and the first time they captured the MIAA championship trophy. With the game knotted up at 6-6 entering the final quarter, her Blue Knights got goals from senior captain Paige Morrison, eighth grader Lydia Katzenbach, and junior Elizabeth Stutzman, all holding the Tigers scoreless. We knew Ipswich was a very balanced team with lots of talent, said Beaton. Some of their girls are strong and physical, like number 11, sophomore Natalie Elder, and number 2, Allie. I remember score 4 goals against us in the 2024 state quarterfinals. When asked how her team managed to play its best lacrosse over the final 12 minutes, Beaton said, grit, maybe heart, team. We've done a lot of stuff talking about how the mental part is just as important because they have the skill. So we just needed both of these things to be even, and I think they were. Sophomore goalie Sydney Linden had a terrific showing for Ipswich, coming with 7 saves, several of the point-blank variety. Her counterpart, Sandwich sophomore Ashlyn Kruger, had 1 save. With temperatures soaring into the 90s and the on-field temperature well over 100 degrees, one official there who studies health and the effect of heat on playing surfaces said it could have been between 160 and 180 degrees. 3-minute mandatory water breaks were called at the midpoint of each quarter so both teams could refuel. As it turns out, one of the 4 game officials had to leave the title bout at halftime due to heat exhaustion. It was 2-2 after 1 quarter, 4-4 at intermission, and 6-6 heading into the 4th. Ipswich scored the game's first 2 goals, then later took 1 goal leads at 4-3 in the second stanza and 5-4 early in the 3rd. Sophomore Ella McCarthy, who had a team-best 3 goals and 2 assists Thursday, finishing at IHS's leading scorer with 49 goals, 42 assists, and 91 points, had 2 of those tallies in the second quarter with freshman Maddie Metchik and Elder 2 goals assist, also putting home goals before the break. But the Blue Knights got 4 of their own as Stutzman, Anya Kelch, Quinn Anderson, and Abigail Riesig all connecting. A free position goal by McCarthy gave the Tigers an early third quarter advantage before Stutzman and Anderson put Sandwich back on top 6-5. With 1 minute and 21 seconds left in the quarter, McCarthy found a cutting Elder going towards the net and fed her for the tying strike. The play was set up by Walla, who had intercepted a Sandwich clearing pass to set up the offensive attack for IHS, but Sandwich took over draw controls in the fourth quarter, giving them continual possession. They cashed in 86 seconds into the final period, again at the 3:39 mark, and for the last time, with 6:38 to go, the Blue Knights then essentially ran out the clock over the last 4 minutes. Ipswich did put 1 into the back of the net in the fourth quarter, but had it called back due to an infraction. We had a couple of tough calls against us, admitted Chivnin. You score a goal and have a call back, it's really lousy. With 4 minutes left, it could be a whole different game. But that's what we drew up in that timeout. But you can't win a game when you don't score in the fourth quarter. Contact Phil Stacy at PhilStacy_SN. All Ages Lego Fan Convention to Return to Salem by Michael McHugh, staff writer. Salem, the largest Lego event in the United States, will return this year to Salem State University's Rocket Arena this weekend for enthusiasts of all ages. The event, taking place on Saturday, June 13th, and Sunday, June 14th, will include over 2 million Lego brick and over 13,000 Lego minifigures on display and for sale. Featured attractions include opportunities to purchase Lego merchandise as well as retired and new Lego sets, brick pits, with thousands of Lego bricks to build, with professional Lego artists, meet and greets, and over 150 different Lego creations by artists on display. Since 2023, the convention has made charitable contributions valuing more than $65,000 to the Build Smiles Foundation, with a portion of the proceeds going to the all-volunteer nonprofit organization. The organization provides developmental opportunities and financial support to children facing challenging circumstances, particularly those living in homeless shelters and orphanages. Tickets are $14.99 and are available for either Saturday or Sunday. Organizers said that tickets are expected to sell out before the event, and individuals are encouraged to purchase tickets early at brickconvention.com Salem. Michael McHugh can be contacted at mmcugh@northofboston.com or call 781-799-5202. Straight No Chaser Coming to Cabot by Bill Foreman. Last word features. Most bands split up over creative differences, money disputes, or standard rock star egos. Straight No Chaser has spent nearly two decades trying to survive the sheer unadulterated perils of multi-part vocal harmonies. The unlikely return of the a cappella group stemmed from a 10th anniversary reunion of the original collegiate group in 2006. To generate enthusiasm for the occasion, bass singer Randy Stein made DVDs of a 1998 Straight No Chaser concert and posted a performance of the 12 Days of Christmas to YouTube. The clip of the 12 Days of Christmas went viral and became 2007's most viewed video. It caught the attention of Craig Kalman, the chairman and CEO of Atlantic Records, who tracked down Stein and offered the group a record deal. In the years since, they sold more than 3 million albums, over 1.5 million concert tickets worldwide. Their recording history has also featured high-profile studio collaborations with iconic artists like Paul McCartney, Elton John, Dolly Parton, and Stevie Wonder. Straight No Chaser is performing June 17th at the Cabot in Beverly. The show starts at 8 p.m. I'm Eileen, and you've been listening to a publication of the Salem News, June 12th, 2026. Thank you for listening to the Talking Information Center.